If we consider the components of prayer, thought, feeling, and emotion, each is a vibratory template. It's a pattern. If we could project our thought, feeling, and emotion into a substance, we can actually see the form, the shape of that vibration. So in your mind's eye, if you will consider each of them as a series of concentric circles, for example, a concentric circle of thought, one of emotion, one of feeling. Unless those three parameters of thought, feeling, and emotion, unless those concentric circles rest one on top of the other, on top of another, then they are not aligned. And this is what the ancients reminded us. They said, when thought, feeling, and emotion become one, that's when we empower our bodies, our will, our intent to create in our world. So as those concentric circles move into alignment, one over another, that is our thought, feeling, and emotion become as one. Sometimes maybe we move two out of the three together. Maybe feeling and emotion in our world have become so merged that we consider them as one. And what do I mean by that? Maybe feeling and emotion are aligned and thought isn't. Well, let me offer this. Each time someone asks you a question, maybe it's something as simple as, how do you feel this morning? First thing when you walk into work on Monday morning, how do you feel? And your thought is, I feel fine, and that's what you say. And your feeling and emotion are reeling from some deep personal experience that you've experienced over the weekend, okay? In that moment, you get dishonored. It's not right, wrong, good, or bad. It's simply a path. You've dishonored that alignment because your thought and what you shared didn't mirror the feeling and the emotion. So you have not aligned the thought, feeling, and emotion. If we view thought, feeling, and emotion as vibratory templates and we think of them as a thing in that way, then it becomes clearer in our Western mind how they may have an effect on the world around us. So the question is, how do you do this? How do you do this thing? How do you align thought, feeling, and emotion in a world, in a society, in a culture that sometimes doesn't even support emotion as being discussed? How do we consider this as a technology? The Essenes, and again, we go back to the clarity and the wisdom and the beauty of the words of the Essenes. They were so clear. They asked themselves precisely the same question 500 years before Christ. They asked themselves, how is it that we do this in our bodies? And what the masters of that time said to them is the beginning of a technology. Listen how clear, how concise, it's even in a specific order. When they said, how do we create thought, feeling, and emotion as a unified pattern? How do they become one in our bodies? The master said to them, first shall the Son of Man seek peace in his own body, in his emotions. The emotions are where we begin. For his body is as a mountain pond that reflects the sun when it's still and clear. And when it's full of mud and stones, it reflects nothing. We must find that peace in our emotions to begin with. And again, they equated body and emotions as very similar because it's through the body that we're experiencing our emotions. So first, we must find peace in our bodies. Then, and this is exactly the way they say it, then shall the Son of Man seek peace in his feelings. We call on the angel of love to enter our feelings that they may be purified and that all that was before impatience and discord be turned into harmony and peace. So feelings are next. Then, through our thought, then shall the Son of Man seek peace in his own thoughts. For there is no greater power in heaven and earth than the thought of the Son of Man. Though unseen by the eyes of the body, yet each thought has the mighty strength. Even such strength can shake the heavens. And they refer to this again and again and again. They remind us that the inconsequential, what we believe are the inconsequential moments of our mundane lives, the things often we take for granted, have dramatic repercussions throughout the other worlds, throughout the heavens. They remind us that the choices we make individually each day in our personal lives rock the angels of the other worlds. They rock the heavens. They shake those heavens. It's an awesome possibility, an awesome proposition to consider. So what is the common thread? What's the key in each of these? They invite us to find peace in our bodies, peace in our thoughts, peace in our feelings. It's the ancient secret. It's the key of peace. The ancient key of peace in the perspective of the Essenes. They invite us to seek peace in all that lives, in all that we do, in every word that we speak for peace. They don't say that love or that compassion or forgiveness. Peace is the key to all knowledge, to all mystery, and to all life. It's in the presence of peace that we are able to have the compassion and to demonstrate the love on the deepest levels, and we're invited to seek the peace in everywhere, in every experience, in everything that we'll ever know in our life, because it's always there, even when it appears, maybe at first, that it's not. And to look sometimes, we've got to maybe turn over some stones and look around some corners to find it. And once we find that little iota of peace, that's the anchor point from which we can expand into greater and greater expressions of peace. Isn't it interesting? In the Essene traditions now, they remind us, they invite us, once again, to remember that three are the dwellings of the sons and daughters of man. No one may come before the face of the One, or of God, who knows not the angel of peace in each of these three, body, thought, and feeling. Once again, when these three become one, you'll say to the mountain, move away, and the mountain will move away.